Bird of paradise, feather among leaves. To the earthy soil I am bound and tied, anchored by claws of roots and weighty sheaves. My spirit flies among the birds that glide. My sprawled pinions, verdant, tail feathers pied, a crest of orange crowned is my disguise. As winds breathe hope and new life, then subside, seeds are sown and grown right before my eyes. My vision is centered, strong are my arms. I feed the hungry and withstand their sting. I greet the sunrise and bathe in rainstorms. Wildflowers fret and speak of blight all spring. But paradise shuns foreboding such plight. Proud is my nature. I stand strongly bright. Marie Helen Abramyan. Welcome to the Lost Traveler Podcast. I am your ever-loving host, Henry Cameron Allen. And today I have a very special and honorable guest, honored and honorable, Phoebe Trautman, who is a multiple-time champion soccer player. She is a multiple Hall of Famer inductee. She is an author. She is an entrepreneur. She is a woman of the world. Welcome, Phoebe.
Thank you so much. I am thrilled, honored, excited. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to just connecting and chatting with you today.
Oh, likewise. And, you know, one of the things that I started this season new, because I like to add something fresh to the mix every year. This is my fourth season. And we have listeners in 45 countries around the world, which is I'm gobsmacked over that. You know, we seem to be hitting a nerve with the whole universal life skills conversation. Mm-hmm. There are more than 8 billion of us on the planet today, and we are all learning the same essential life skills. What are those? Those are communication skills. Those are emotional literacy. Those are financial literacy and grieving and nutrition and self-care and resilience and all of these things that make up the human story. And one of the things that I've taken to doing this season is asking my co-hosts to come up intuitively with a question for the next co-host, not knowing who that person is, anything about their biography, just going with what your gut asks you. So I'm going to ask you to ask a question at the end.
Okay.
I'm going to start this story, start getting to know you by the way you respond to the question that the last co-host left just for you.
I love this. Oh my gosh. Brilliant. Very fun. Excited to hear what's the question.
I know. Drum roll, please. Well, what's amazing too is that 100% of the time, it's the right question for the right person.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I've gotten to know about you, reading your biography and a little bit about your book, Never Quit on a Bad Day, which I'm really excited to read. This is the perfect question for you. How do you know when you are truly living in your authenticity, and how do you help others find theirs?
Wow.
Great
question. Oh my gosh. Okay. How do I help people find theirs? I think a big piece of that is definitely leading with the heart, right? And having that conversation. We talked about life skills and how important communication is. And I think when you truly come from a place of love and heart, that's where we connect, right? Human to human is everyone wants to feel loved. Everyone wants to feel appreciated. And so I think in helping people find it, it's asking those questions like, what brings you joy? What lights up your what lights up your face, your heart, your emotion? When do you feel truly fueled to want to create and do more? And I think asking those questions and really just sitting with that conversation with someone is, you know, one way of helping them do it. For myself, I would say prayer for sure. I say I do this thing with God, which is actually how the book even ended up coming to be. But I do this like open the door, close the door. And so basically what I do is like with certain things, I'll be like, okay, God, open the door. If I'm supposed to move forward in this, then you're going to open it and there's going to be a way. And I'll put out a question, some sort of question. Like, for example, with a book, it was like, if this is the name of the book, then the URL will be available. And that was my open the door. And so then I was like, okay, and then close the door. If it's not available, then I know that this isn't the way this isn't supposed to be the name of it. Right. And I felt really excited about it. But then I thought, you know what, let me throw it out there. And so I did that. And then the name of the book was available, which meant for me, it was like, okay, I'm moving forward in that. And in that sense of, okay, I asked the question, I was open to the answer of either way, whatever path it was going to go on, but I also felt confident in it. And I think you said a big thing about intuition, really leading with intuition with a lot of stuff as well too, because it's so interesting when you do, how things start to open up. And I believe we have those answers inside of us. Sometimes it's just asking the question and then taking that step, asking another question, taking that step, and just trusting yourself that you a lot of times we have those answers within us if we start asking ourselves those questions.
Listen, we are made of all the same things as everything else in the universe. We have all the wisdom of the universe inside of us. Mm-hmm. I think it was my last interview, or it wasn't even an interview, it was a conversation. And we were talking about the root of the word education in Latin, educato, which means to draw out of or to lead out, right? Draw out of like water from a well, not to thrust information into somebody, right? And we all are masters and we all are students as well in the same moment. And I think that we are, especially in our time with media influence, we are apt to opinionate a lot and sort of cast our pearls before swine, as it were, you know, and just sort of put it all out there. And, you know, I have a tendency not to do that. I think people who know me in my social media circles, they know that my page is a sacred space. And it is not a place for opinionating, even my own. If somebody wants to know what I think about something, ask me. Let's get a conversation going. Because how many people do you know who have said, I am getting out of social media? It's so divisive. It's so hateful. People speaking horribly about each other and about politics and religion and all of this stuff. I haven't experienced that. I haven't. People have been respectful of my boundaries.
Beautiful.
You know, and I think for me, in terms of that question, how do you know when you're really living in your authenticity, is when you don't have to enforce your opinion, impose your opinion, intrude on other people in order to feel heard, right? You're calm in yourself, and that goes to the core, which is what you said precisely. It's the heart. It's the heart of the matter, right?
Yes.
It's really one frequency, and that's love. And if we tap into that, that's our inner divinity. That's our divine spark. That's what we're praying to and for.
Absolutely. Because there's guidance. And as you said, we have that wisdom. Now, I have a question for you in terms of, you mentioned social media, right? And making your social media platform a safe space, because I think that's so important. And I'm very much like you with that in terms of like, I want it to be a place where when you go to it, you feel uplifted, you feel happy, you feel, you know, welcomed.
Authentic.
You
will. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Shadow and Light LLC was established by Dave Roberts and Reverend Patty Farino, co-authors of When the Psychology Professor Met the Minister. Their mission is to empower individuals to transcend life's challenges by integrating spiritual practices with psychology to achieve peace. They are available for individualized spiritual counseling,
virtual or in-person book club meetings, or presentations and workshops to universities, organizations, and other interested groups. For further information, visit psychologyprofessorandminister.com.
So how did you create that? Because I think, you know, if more people can learn to have that, just think of how different social media could be, where people feel like they're not being, they have a safe space, if you will.
Well, I think that for me, it started out because we're all, you know, like the name of the podcast, we're all lost travelers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in our time, especially in a post-COVID world, we're all pioneers. We all mm-hmm. have this opportunity to make the world better than we perceived it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so to empower people to, not by telling them, not by sharing my opinion, saying, I think you should do blankety blank or be blankety blank, to show people what's possible, to show people that my social circles, whether it is globally online or whether it's in my tiny Spanish village of 700 people, I get to choose who I surround myself with, and I get to decide what happens in my home,
yes,
my space. My friends here in my village, they know that, and I don't know how big the town is that you live in, but the gossip machine is alive and well in a small town environment, and my friends know that we don't talk smack about people in Henry's house. We don't. And we only say, if we're going to talk about somebody, we say positive things, and we wouldn't ever say anything to anyone about anyone that we wouldn't say to their face, you know. Beautiful. And that goes for social media. It's all social. Social is the key word.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in control of our social environments, aren't we? And so there have been a few times where I've had to actually post a disclaimer on my page saying, by the way, I'm not inviting these mm-hmm. opinions.
Yeah.
If you want to share your opinion, I'm happy to do so in private. If you want to know my opinion, I'm happy to do so in private. PM me.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Reach out. Call me. Call me on WhatsApp. You know,
yeah.
Because I love having those conversations and finding the common ground. And that's what I show, because that's what's authentic for me. And that's what's real. I have friends who are extremely right-wing conservative. I have friends who are extremely religious in every religion.
Mm-hmm.
Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, Baha'i, Jew, everybody. And I have friends from every culture. I have friends from every part of the globe. I have indigenous friends. I have urban socialite friends who are wealthier mm-hmm. than anybody I've ever met in my life. You know, I mean, it's really the spectrum of humanity. And I think that to be able to say there are common threads there amongst all of us, as you say, we all want to be loved. We all want to love as well. It's the mm-hmm. inner child in all of us that wants to give love and wants to feel it reciprocated, you know. So does that answer your question? I don't know.
But it does, absolutely. And I think one of the things you said that was so key too is you choose who you are around. And I think that's so important, that sometimes I feel like sometimes we almost get stuck in that, well, we've been friends for X amount of time, or well, we've right. done this, or we work together, this or that. And it's true. As I mean, there, you want to find the commonalities. And I think that's so important what you said, that, right? Is if just as humans, we could focus on the similarities that we have with other people and just appreciate that about them, the whole world opens up in a completely different way. And I love that. I was nodding my head as you're saying, you have friends of like everything, right? And I'm the same way, because it's like they're people, they're great people. And if you focus on the things that you have in common, it's just a place of connection. And then the relationship can blossom from there. And then from another thing that you said that I think was so important is you set some boundaries in terms of your home is not going to be a place of gossip. Your social media is not going to be a place of this. And I think as well, when we as humans set those boundaries, people will either gravitate towards it and it will work and then it's a beautiful synergy in terms of it, or you know what, they might not, and then that's a time where maybe it's choosing to part ways it, for whatever the reason is, right? But I really love what you said that there in terms of the choosing, because I think it's so important who we surround ourselves with. It's so key in our journey of life, is when you surround yourself with good people, that's where magic happens, right?
Well, and choosing is our power as human beings. I don't know that my service dog, Flat Stanley, can choose in the way that I can choose certain things, right? He's bound to the rhythm of my life. He can't choose to go out and take a walk around the pond, you know, on his own. He can't choose to write a poem. He can't choose to cook a particular meal. He's dependent on my rhythms. And yes. I think that even animals in the wild, you know, this is one of the things that separates us from the rest of the animal kingdom, is that we do have this conscious awareness of our own potential, and to imagine that potential and strive toward it, right? I mean, we are all of us learning the same life skills. It's not a question of whether we're learning them or not. You could be living in a tiny little, you know, farm town in the Congo, or you could be living in uptown Manhattan, baby, you know, trading stocks on Wall Street, but you could be, you know, in your village trading a handful of rice for a handful of eggs, and that's trade as much as Wall Street, right? So yeah, it's the same gesture. We're learning the same skill. It's not a question of whether or not we're learning them. We are learning them, all of us, and applying them daily. It's a question of in what measure are we learning and from whom are we learning them? I work a lot with youth globally. And I ask that question, where did you get your life skills? After I explain, because we're not talking about life skills in general. It's not really part of the international conversation about universal life skills. I say, where do you get your life skills? 98.9% do not say from my parents.
Wow. Really?
They do not say from school. They do not say from church. They say from social media, from TikTok.
Wow.
Or YouTube. If I want to know how to do something, I go look up a video, right? Mm-hmm. Anybody's guess if it's the right information or if it's accurate or right. You're only learning the proficiency as well as the person teaching it, right? If I want to learn violin, for instance, or if I want to learn soccer, right? I'll go and find you. I'll go find a master. Teach me those skills so that I can elevate my proficiency. But I'm the only one who can decide whether I'm deficient or not.
And if you're open to learning, right? That's
if you're open, yes.
Because there's so much amazing like things that we can learn out there. However, if someone's not open to it, you're right. Like you have to know if you're deficient in it. And then next step, are you open to taking that information, applying it, moving forward? Again, take learning and growing and continuing to move forward in it as well.
And when we know that, we go out and we seek a master to teach us those skills to elevate our proficiency. But because it's not part of the global conversation, because we're not talking generally in these terms, I think a lot of people feel lost. And the name Lost Traveler is kind of ironic. It's resonant, but it's also ironic because we're all going to arrive. We're not really lost, you know, we are surrounded by people pointing us in the right direction, but engaging our gut, our intuition, this is the way I want to go. And if you arrive at that point B that you imagined, and it doesn't feel safe, it doesn't feel happy, it doesn't feel comfortable, it effortlessly, magically turns into a new point A surrounded by infinite possibilities. And all you have to do is choose a direction. And there you are, you're off, right?
Absolutely.
Where did you learn your life skills though in that context?
In that context, you know, I learned a lot of life skills on the soccer field in terms of as an athlete. I learned, you know, when I really realized this over the last few years, like how many life skills truly were learned as an athlete playing soccer on different teams from different, whether it's players, whether it's coaches, whether it's just situations, you know, you have a team of people working towards a common goal, right? Which is, let's say, just winning a game. Right. That being said, within that, there's, you might have a roster of 22 people. Well, 11 people are going to be on the field at a given time. So, you know, you want to make that 11, starting 11. And so in that, it's pushing yourself, right? Being dedicated and committed to, you know, whatever that goal is and going after that, having communication with your teammates, you know, when people are, there's disappointments that happen when you lose a game or when you didn't even play in a game, right? So there's a lot of life skills that I really did develop. And that's why I'm such a big believer in young players getting an opportunity to participate in sport on whatever level, whatever sport. You know, you're going to learn a lot of certain skills in individual sports and team sports. So it's just, it's a place where you can develop. I mean, I actually coach soccer. I run a program for kids under four to under seven. Yeah. Little things like the ones that are all over the place. And it's so much fun. And I love it because you can see them start to learn about teamwork and about success and about just, you know, and success for everybody, especially at the young age, you guys, success can be them not touching the ball with their hands. Like it is, well, it doesn't matter, but it's a win and it's celebrated. And so I think I really just encourage people, like sport is just such a great training ground. And I mean, I was very fortunate. I did learn a lot of life skills too, from my parents. They were very big in personal development as well. And so, you know, as a young child, I was frustrated hearing these tapes in the car all the time and be like, I want to listen to the radio, but it planted some seeds, you know, where it kind of, exactly. It was in me where I'm saying stuff and I'm like, wait a second, I heard that before, you know? So I definitely,
the more we hear stuff, the more we hear something positive or negative, the more we're apt to believe it. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so those tapes even play in our heads, right?
They do. Yeah.
And sometimes those tapes are really, really helpful and healthy. Other times those tapes are not.
Are you tired of feeling run down? Do you wish there was a natural, non-invasive, drug-free way to improve your overall health and well-being? If so, then let me introduce you to the Super Patch Company. Super Patches are a range of small neurotech patches that can help with a variety of issues, including sleep, immunity, pain mitigation, athletic performance, focus, anxiety, and stress. They're safe for everyone to use, and they're backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Order your Super Patches today. Now available in the EU, UK, Turkey, Canada, and the US. If you're ready to take control of your health, you can find out more online at dianedinkmeyer.superpatch.com. Super Patches. There's a patch for that.
And so how does one sort out for themselves if they've got some tapes playing that maybe aren't on the healthy side? How do you click those tapes out and replace them with something else?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, there's lots of different ways. I think it depends really for that person. They need to find, you know, whether it could be, you know, going to therapy, it could be reaching out to someone, a close friend, you know. But I think a big piece of it is really the end of the day, we're all miracles. We all are truly miracles. And so remembering that, and as much as you can, like, you know, affirmations, positive things that lift you up, like replacing those, you know, for everything. I think I heard like something like 87% of what we're exposed to is negative, right? We're always being hit. Even if you have positive tapes going on in your mind, we're still being hit with it all the time. So I think it's, how do you replace that with more positive stuff? And that might be listening to more positive YouTubes like this, hearing people's stories, and then repeating that to yourself, looking yourself in the mirror and just realizing that you are a miracle, that you have, you know, your past doesn't determine your future. You can choose every single day to be like, I am a miracle. I am a great person. Look for the successes in your life. And sometimes even just gratitude. Like, I'm a big believer in just being grateful, taking some time out, grateful for the little things, because when you're grateful for the little things, those lead to bigger things as well. And so, you know, I think it, everyone, you know, I'm so grateful for my upbringing, that I had a positive environment. And I know not everyone's fortunate to have that. And that's where I think it really is about, as we talked about, who you surround yourself with, choosing to surround yourself with great people, that sometimes you might have to borrow their belief in you before you believe in yourself too. And so I think that's really, really important. And just, again, remembering that you're here for a purpose. We all have a purpose and you matter. And just repeating that to yourself until it's something that you truly can just embody and go forward from there. How about you? How do you feel in terms of upbringing and, yeah, replacing? I'd love to hear your thoughts on it too.
You know, I had a very interesting childhood. It was at one time extremely rare and privileged, because my father was a cultural diplomat for the U.S. government, and that afforded me the opportunity to travel the world from an early age. We lived in Austria, Russia, Peru, Brazil, Cuba, you know, and I learned multiple languages, and I tried new cuisines, and I lived in different kinds of architectures. And, you know, look at my seat. You can't see because it's an audio, but I've got these beautiful, this is an 800-year-old house I live in now. And I feel so at home. You know, I don't feel like a fish out of water. Where I felt like a fish out of water was in the U.S., the country of my birth. I never felt at home there. And I did not grow up in a happy household, and it was at times violent. And what helped me, the pivotal moment, and I still do this, I go back and I reflect on, there's no time machine to take you back into the past, right? You only have your imagination. And somebody who even shared a moment with you in the past that you're remembering, you're only remembering it from your perspective. Right? So the past and the future only live in our imagination. This is the real moment. This is all that really exists. I say this all the time. Your biography, Phoebe, my biography, your parents, our grandparents, great-grandparents, all the way to our common ancestor in Africa, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago. All of that suffering, all of that hope, all of that courage, that joy, that love, that struggle, all of it has prepared us for this moment, for this conversation. And do you know how many millions of people did not wake up today? Guess what? We did. And here we are. That's the miracle right there. And so knowing where I came from, I think, is a really important part of it. This is one of the reasons that in my career, I found my overarching purpose, that deep joy in my soul that meets a great need in the world. That is your calling, right? It's what calls to you. It's what calls from you. It's your face in the world. And most people are not taught how to find that. And I found that because I was rescued from that toxic environment at age 13 is when I left home. And on my 14th birthday, this was one of those pivotal moments. The woman of the household where I was staying called me into the kitchen and she said, "Put out your hand." And of course, put out your hand to me meant it was going to get smacked, burned, cut. You know, I was going to get hurt. And so I put my hands behind me and she said, "Do you trust me?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Then put out your hand. You're safe." I very gingerly put out my hand. And in the palm of my hand, she put this tiny little folded up piece of paper, like fortune cookie size, right? And closed my fingers over it. I said, "What's this?" She said, "It's your birthday present. You can open it." And I opened this little piece of paper and it was the word integrity. And she said, "Do you know what it means?" I said, "No." I was 14. A 14-year-old has ever even heard that word, right? She said, "Go look it up." Now, back in the day, because I'm older than the hills, we didn't have Google. We didn't have mobile phones. We didn't have the internet. She had this heavy brass music stand in the corner of her living room with the Oxford English Dictionary always open on it, this big, thick book. And you had to wet your finger and turn the...
Right. I'm laughing because I totally know we're in the same over the hill area.
Yes, the international gesture for looking something up. And I found the word integrity, and the way that I understood it at 14 was that you are the sum of all of your parts. And the only person who owns that is you. Hmm. Every part of yourself with a capital S is integrated into the whole that is you. And that was sort of the shift of my entire future in that moment, the power of a moment.
Wow.
It become very, very dark. I could have become very self-destructive given my foundations. And mm-hmm. permission is a powerful thing. And permission to own myself on my terms, no matter who thought what about me, right? And going back to who you surround yourself with is very, very important. As kids, we don't have that choice. We don't have that freedom. Mm-hmm. We're not much better than a dog, right? In terms
of very true.
We can't choose what we have for dinner, right? If you don't eat what I put in front of you, you're not going to eat, right? Yeah,
pretty much.
But nobody prepares us for crossing the threshold into our adulthood to be able to make those choices for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We did start having the conversation about life skills, having the ability from a young age to gaze into the eyes of another as if they were the mirror. There's a reason our mm-hmm. eyes are set in a way that we can't see our own faces, right? Mm-hmm. For thousands and thousands of millennia before we had mirrors, we relied on the eyes of people around us to reflect back to us who we are. So mm-hmm. it's that check yourself before you wreck yourself kind of moment where maybe that's the first step, is looking around you and saying, who am I surrounding myself with? And how are they reflecting who I am today? Does it match up with the mm-hmm. person I want to be?
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. That's so beautiful. Like, yeah, what a pivotal moment in your life. And from that, and I would say this, like, there's such a huge ripple effect that we don't even realize then. And I want to encourage people, like, just if we stop and thought about how much, like, our actions can just impact people that you will never know, you know, that the woman having that moment with you changed the trajectory of your life and thousands of other people.
That's right.
Because of that moment and how you've lived your life since that moment. And now with the podcast and the people that you're touching, as you said, with countries, listeners in countries all over the world, and then you impact that person in some country that you don't even know. And then their life is changed and the people around them. And that's why I think it's like, it's so beautiful and powerful when people are able to live in their calling and move forward with purpose and joy, because it naturally influences everyone around them. When we see people who are living on purpose and excited about life, it's inspiring. I feel like it naturally, like, gives us the smile when you see people doing what they love to do. And then you're like, okay, wait, if they can do what they love to do, hold on.
Permission.
That means I can. Exactly. It's completely permission. And it's so exciting. Like, I love that, because it's like, I'm thinking and I can kind of like, I'm picturing you as this 14-year-old getting this paper, and just what a beautiful moment and what a huge moment in terms of your life and just the people that you've impacted since. It's incredible.
Hi, this is Henry Cameron Allen. For all of us, especially in these times, life is a journey fraught with challenges. But I'm convinced that the keys to unlocking your full potential are already within you. That's why I started Guy Wire Counseling and Mentoring. A guy wire is a stable cable that lends stability to a freestanding structure during unstable times. As your mentor and counselor, your guy wire, I will guide and support you as we discover the power of your inner awareness. I'll help you identify your purpose, even through your grief. I'm an internationally certified grief and survival counselor, focusing mainly but not exclusively on men's mental health
and I'm a lifetime member of the Complementary Therapists Accredited Association and the International Holistic Therapists and Course Providers. I know that the world is a fractured place. I believe that together we can simplify your grief journey and achieve self-actualization by recognizing the common threads that bind us all, universal life skills. With the support, the stable support of a Guy Wire during your unstable times, you can develop the skills you need to stand strongly, solidly on your own with confidence and grace. Guy Wire is a free service to members of the Lost Travelers Club and a low-cost alternative for everyone else. Let's spend an hour together and see where it takes us. You have nothing to lose. Visit guy-wire.org now to start your journey toward your purpose. Thanks. It allowed me to be the teacher, the mentor, and the parent that I needed to be it. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it. I didn't get those mentors. I didn't get those teachers. I did get some, right? Mm-hmm. To me, those are the angels walking the earth. Those are those people who show up at just the right time with the right little pearl of wisdom to pop into your hand, right?
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know if you know about me, but I sadly outlived my son, Cameron. Oh. When he was 13 years old, he passed from brain cancer.
Oh my gosh, and I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And I've been able to find the gifts in that as well. And people are like, how on earth can you find a gift in that situation? Well, nature abhors a vacuum. When space is created, something will fill it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what fills it is magical, is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe in death anymore. Mm-hmm. That was a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Resolved a fear. The fear. I mean, I remember when I was 8 years old, my teacher, whose name was Mrs. Fend, which I love. It's like, fend for yourself, kid. You know. She had us do this homework assignment to write, what is your greatest fear?
Mm.
And I remember sitting there, I was 8 years old, second grade. And I was looking at this blank sheet of paper thinking, what am I? I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of bugs. I'm not afraid of snakes. There's no monster under my bed.
Mm.
No, I wasn't afraid of the dark. And the only thing that I could think of was outliving my children. Isn't that interesting? Mm. Call it a premonition. Yeah. But soon after he passed, I had this realization that the gift in it was that I get to walk this world fearlessly and show other people that it's possible to be fearless in a very, what we're told is a fearsome world. Mm. Where did you find resilience and courage? And I mean, you are obviously such a strong and resilient woman and a person, you know, and I see that in your biography. I see that in your smile. I see that in your countenance. Where did that come from in you? Where was your pivotal moment or moments?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, thank you for sharing that about your son. That's something I can only,
yeah, me too.
So yeah, no words.
Feels surreal. Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like it's something that I think it's just sort of happened over life. Like I'm, you know, I lost my dad to cancer actually 12 years ago, and that was like gut-wrenching, like such thank you. And you know, when I look back on that time, and you know, when I've lost friends over the years and at way too young that shouldn't have, and I think, you know, in that it's hard, and especially when my dad passed, because when I lost another really close friend few years before, he was the person, and we were always like daddy's little girl through and through. And so he was the person I would go to for everything. Like when I was in that really dark, low place, when I lost a really close friend, like he was the one who was like, it's okay, you got to move forward, and like would be there to kind of like give the hug, the encouraging word. And so when all of a sudden it's like, well, where is this person? Like
that's plucked out of the equation.
That's gone. It's like, what now? You know, and it was a very tough time. I'm so grateful for my mom, because I feel like I just kept going, because like we made this pact where we're not allowed to both be like super low, super sad at the same day. It was like, if you're going to have it today, like, okay, but then tomorrow's my day. Like we just kind of, cause we had to figure it out. And I think really leaning on the fact that he would want us to go on, like he would want us to move forward and hold each other up, and my brother too. And so, I mean, that was a very, very tough time. Absolutely. And that was one where to find the little, that's why I say sometimes you have to find the smallest little thing of gratitude, like the smallest thing, like, as you just said, we woke up, be grateful for that. We're healthy, be grateful for that, you know, and just holding on to those moments, because it is hard when you don't see a way forward. And sometimes it's not about seeing all the way forward. Sometimes it's just seeing forward for this minute right now. I'm going to make it to the next minute, and I'm grateful that I have this minute, and I'm going to make it forward. And, you know, I mean, I just think it's so beautiful in the sense of you looking for that, finding that gift out of that. Cause it's hard. I mean, I know, like, I've always been a very compassionate, empathetic person, but it's on a whole new level because I'm losing him, and just being like, you know, sometimes it's people always have those sayings, and because they don't know what to say, right? They don't, you know, a lot of times they don't know what to say. And I just realized, you know what, sometimes it's just sending a little heart emoji to someone just so that they know that you're thinking of them. They don't need to respond. And I've had so many friends over the years who have lost parents and close friends. And, you know, when I say to them, like, look, when I was going through it, I didn't necessarily want to talk. And so I'm just going to send you a little note. Don't answer. You don't have to answer. Do not feel any pressure to answer. I'm not looking for an answer. I just want you to know in that moment, someone loves you. Someone is thinking of you. Someone loves you. And because that was huge for, I had friends who would just do that. And I told them, like, look, I don't have it in me to even answer. And so I think resilience is one of those things where, you know, it starts in small things. It, for me, resilience started from, like, you know, getting cut from a soccer team and still going forward. It's something super small, but you build your resilience. And we as human beings, we truly are so resilient, because life is hard. Life throws us curveballs. Life throws us unexpected challenges. And just by keep showing up, I think that's the biggest thing. And you know, if you can just find something to be grateful for, it could be a cup of coffee at that moment.
Exactly. Whatever. You know, Cameron and I had this practice that I still do every single day. And maybe this will help somebody out there, but it's a gratitude practice. It's a willful, conscious practice where in that moment where you're aware that the sun is up, you know that you want to get up, your body's pulling you, you know, out of bed, before you allow yourself to open your eyes to meet a new day, go down the list. Go down the list, everything you can think of that is a blessing that you feel grateful for right then and there. Sometimes it's three things, sometimes it's 30, sometimes it's 300. Sometimes it takes me over an hour to open my eyes because I'm so grateful for what I have and who I am and who's around me and all of those things. And so to allow space, to create space for that, for gratitude, before you even meet the day is a very powerful, I have found for me, it's a powerful exercise.
I love that. And I do the same thing. And I feel with gratitude, it naturally, your posture shifts, your energy shifts, because you're hopeful. Like in gratitude, it naturally leads to being hopeful, because if you're grateful for what you have, you know, you can, there's more to come. There's more. And I do that in the morning, the same thing before I get out of bed. It's just like, I'm so grateful. Like I'm the fact that we're able to open our eyes, right?
Yes.
Because that is a gift in itself. And then what I started doing years ago is I put in my phone a calendar appointment. So every single day at 9:10 PM Pacific, it goes on my phone and it just says, I'm so happy and grateful that dot, dot, dot. And so that pops up, and then it just makes me pause in that moment. And same thing, it might be super quick if I'm out, you know, out for dinner or out at whatever, I'll just be like, okay, really quickly and go through it. But then I think that that had helped me a lot too, because then it forces that. So I want to encourage you, anyone listening in, and just throw a time, it can be whatever time of day. I agree with you, start the morning with it, because that does set the energy for the day, if you will. And then I just like to have something else that it forces me at that moment, because sometimes I might not get to bed too much later, but then it just popped, like in that moment when that alert goes off that I have my appointment with myself, then it just shifts that focus again to just take a second and just be grateful.
I love that. And I think with your permission, I would like to borrow that, because I am developing an app right now. I have a foundation called the Lost Travelers Club, which this podcast is a funding source through sponsorship and donations to the podcast. It supports the Lost Travelers Club, which is surviving parents getting there together. It's an empowerment organization for parents who have outlived their kids. We call now Peregrines. There's never to date that we've been able to identify in history in any language a word like widow or orphan for a parent who's outlived a child. We're an invisible population. You can't look at somebody and know. And so I had this dream. My dreams are very productive. And I had this dream recently, this is just a few months ago, that a peregrine falcon swooped down in front of me, looked up and said, "It's time." And I woke up and it was about 3 a.m. and I knew precisely what it meant. It meant it's time for us to have an identity. It's time for us to have a word that we can turn to. If somebody says, "Oh, do you have any kids?" I don't have to crack my chest open and pour my most sacred, personal, private pain out onto the table for everybody. As if I had a word like widow or orphan for the same thing. Enough said.
Well, people know exactly.
People know. People they know how to hold you in that moment.
Sponsorship and listener support of the Lost Traveler podcast benefits the Lost Travelers Club, a volunteer-operated charitable foundation under United Charitable, a 501c3 public charity. Peregrine is the proper noun we now use to describe a parent who endures the loss of their beloved child, forever carrying their memory and embarking on a lifelong journey of grief, resilience, and hope. The Lost Travelers Club provides programs, resources, and empowerment opportunities for peregrines globally who are navigating their grief journey. Parents of child loss, getting there together. You can support this important work by becoming a sponsor of this podcast or visiting www.losttravelers.club for more information or to make a donation. Thanks for listening and for your continued support.
Yeah.
So child's, you know, outliving our children, I tend to sway away from the word loss. And the reason is because Cameron's not a set of keys. Your father too, you know, your friends, they're not a set of keys or a favorite scarf. You know exactly where they are. You know precisely where they are. They're living in you and through you now, in your heart. They're not lost. We didn't lose them. They're there 100% of the time. All we have to do is tap into that love. And there they are, right? That memory. And so I'm working on a couple of things. One is the app, which is called My Tsunami. And it is about dealing with those triggers that you were, you know, that you were talking about with your mom and your brother and yourself, that you all, we all have those days where we are triggered by something and we can barely stand up, right? And we need other people, but not everybody has another person close by in those trigger moments. We all live with a certain degree of post-traumatic stress. Some of us have been diagnosed with it, and yet the tools are still deficient. So I want to create this app to where if somebody feels a trigger coming on, there's like a panic button that you can push that takes a breathing exercise, that grounds you, that balances you, focuses. And what I hadn't thought of was some kind of affirmation that can click you into a positive reflection in that moment. Mm-hmm. Say, once you have calmed your nervous system a little bit, to say something positive to yourself, right? Like you're talking mm-hmm. about, and have that come up when you finish that breathing exercise and say, okay, I got this. I can now shift the trajectory, right?
I love that.
I'm working on, I'm calling the Lost Traveler's Field Guide, which is a new lexicon for grief, helpful language, new language. When we start talking in terms of loss and death and bereavement, it keeps us in a holding pattern that is really hard to break out of. It's like being caught in a whirlpool. And it's a drag, you know? And if we had new language to turn to and a different way of looking at it rather than loss, what have mm-hmm. we gained? What are the gifts, right? Mm-hmm. What have I gained? That's why I say, you know, when we read an obituary, so-and-so is survived by their sister, brother, parents, right? So that's why I say surviving parents, because that's what mm-hmm. we're doing. There's no healing from this. There's mm-hmm. no healing from the passing of a parent or a child or any loved one, a friend. But there is enduring.
Mm-hmm.
How do we endure? How do we cope with it? Right? Yeah. Let's talk about that instead. Yeah.
I think tsunami, that's a perfect name for it.
But it feels like
it. It feels like it. And there's, as you said, there are triggers for sure that like, but you don't, you know, there's the ones that you know are going to be a trigger, right? Birthday, certain things like
exactly.
Certain days you already know. Yet it can be the smallest thing, the smallest little thing that can just set it off. And, you know, in that, sometimes you're right, you don't have someone you want to reach out to, or maybe they're not available, or maybe you don't want to hear like, it's going to be okay. Cause right. it's not in that moment, you know, like, I mean, again, well-intentioned, it's
right.
Like, but sometimes, right. So I love that because, you know, I feel that it is tough. It's very, very tough. And everyone goes through it in different ways. And it's such a process. And, you know, what you were sharing too about creating a new word. Can you say that again, the word for a surviving parent? Like what the, you called it a per, what was that?
Peregrine.
Peregrine. Yeah. Like,
please use it.
Yes. Well, you know, because I right away I was thinking, so my cousin also passed when we were very young as well. And my uncle, he's a peregrine, like, and I just feel because every time when, you know, we've been out and he doesn't live close, he's in another on the other side of the country. But when I see him and people are, they ask, it's the natural question, right? Do you have children? Do you have this? And it's like that ache and pain. And it's just like, as you said, if there's a word that we can use, then it doesn't. They don't have to explain away. And that awkwardness of like, you know, I see him like, well, I had a, like, it's so challenging. And so I think that is just so beautiful. Your heart for helping others in terms of what you've gone through and to create something that will help. And because it is, you know, so yeah, I just, I want to say massive thank you. Thank you for sharing that because.
Well, thank you. And we all go through our moment, right? Mm-hmm. For some people, it's outliving their children. Some people it's outliving their parents. Some people it's, you know, having a major disappointment. Grief takes many, many forms.
Mm-hmm.
And another dream that I had that I'm working on a project is about quantum grief. Quantum mm-hmm. meaning unpredictable. And mm-hmm. it's not just about the passing of someone close to us. It could be not getting on a team that you want, or changing careers, or changing location, leaving your community and finding a new one, right? The loss of our youth,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is also kind of an illusion because we all have an inner child. Our youth
absolutely.
All the time, right? So loss, I want to get rid of that word.
Yeah.
But to the point about your uncle, men's grief is also mm-hmm. very much a hidden journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually started, I think we're on episode 8 or 9 right now, a weekly YouTube podcast called the LTC, Lost Travelers Club Peregrine Dadcast. And men talking about their grief journey, having survived their children. And it is powerful. It's universal. It's not just for men. It's for everybody. It's for siblings. It's for cousins. It's for mothers. It's for anybody who has experienced the passing of a child in their life, to say, to hear men talking about something that has been so taboo, right? Because as a man, you're expected not to cry. As a man, you're expected to rise above, be the provider, be hold the world on your shoulders like Atlas. And it's not that at all. And so it is permission giving. We get to be what we didn't have. We get to be the mentors and the role models for those up and coming behind us. We can remove the stones perhaps out of the path and say, you have permission to grieve as much as the mother.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think women are generally more public with their emotions and allowed to be and expected to be.
You know, I think so.
They gather in groups. They gather in groups to process. Men don't do that.
Yeah.
Really speaking, we don't do that. I want to talk a little bit about teams and as a metaphor. For a delivery system for life skills. I love that. I was not an athletic kid. I did play soccer when I lived in Brazil, right wing.
Of course.
But I wasn't good. And of course, I compared myself a lot, which is a challenge I found with athletics, is the comparison to others in terms of your skill, in terms of your strength, in terms of your endurance. The competitiveness of it. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because I feel the older I get, I'm 57 now, and the older I get, I feel like it's all an illusion, that we are really, I'm finding that we are less, that I guess I can only speak for myself, I am less individualistic. And I have started to relate it to being on an athletic team, because it is not about your individuality. It's about the rhythm that you find with your teammates and with your opposing team as well. It's a dance, isn't it? I mean, there is an awareness, there's a peripheral something that you have to develop, this sense organ that moves in sync. And you're not, how do I describe what I'm feeling, is that we're not individuals on a team. We are the game. There would be no game without all of us. And if you use that as a metaphor for life and humanity on the planet, right? We're not individual guests at a party. We are the party. It requires all of us at every level of skill, at every level, but developing that peripheral sense organ.
Hey, are you like me, always looking for ways to make a positive impact in the world? Well, then join me in sponsoring Desire Child Care Organization. We are a legally incorporated, fully volunteer-based organization in Uganda, committed to providing essential needs, holistic arts-based education, and a safe family environment to 33 vulnerable children, ages 2 to 14. Your monthly sponsorship can help improve the lives of these kids toward a better future. Desire Childcare is different from any other charity I know because, well, we have zero administrative overhead. Every penny goes to the kids. And we have a plan toward self-sufficiency through agriculture. So support is temporary. It's kind of like a leg up. Visit desirechildcare.org to learn more and get involved. Let's empower and inspire the Desire Kids together. Thanks.
You know what's like, so as you were saying with the comparison thing, which I have to share it because I heard this quote years ago and it was just like spot on. It's comparison is the thief of all joy. And I
I got chilled.
Not just bam, right? So comparison is the thief of all joy. And I remember hearing it and it was just like that light bulb for everything. Like, yes, athletics, but just life. We compare and we're comparing without knowing the whole story. We don't know the backstory. We don't know if that where that person's been, what they've been through, but we see it today and we're like, we compare. So you guys, we need to release that. There's so much freedom in just releasing that completely. And I love what you said in terms of like the team aspect, because you're right. Like we all have our own gifts, talents, abilities, strengths, things that fuel us, passions. And it's like, if we can start embracing that and realizing like your purpose is different than my purpose, yet together we can push both of our purposes forward. We can impact more people when you find that synergy, right? When you can look at the person beside you and appreciate the gifts that they're bringing and realize that, yeah, collectively you can do so much more. As we're talking about the party, it's like, you don't want to party with everyone that's exactly like you. That's not fun. Like you live with you. We get to take us everywhere. Why would we want to be in an area that's all carbon the same, copy, right? Yeah. Carbon copies. And that wouldn't work well on a team. If everyone was the same type of player that I am, we're not going to win a game. I'm up front scoring goals. I am not the strong defender and defensive person. Like, you want to complement each other's strengths. And I think humans, if we can start looking at individuals in that way and realizing the gifts that they have and how can we bring our gifts together to move forward, it's just that appreciation. Again, as we were saying before, leading from the heart, right? Looking for realizing that other person is a person, they're a human being, they deserve that love, they deserve to be appreciated. And collectively, as we continue to appreciate the gifts and talents of other people, it just allows us again to just move forward, right? Instead of comparing, look at that person and be like, wow, that's really cool that they're able to do that. Awesome. Because you have your own gifts as well too. And chances are they're looking over at you going, wow, they can do all that too. So it's like, appreciate, right? Change that comparison to learning to appreciate what other people, their gifts and their skills and abilities in their lives. And I think we just, again, we'll move forward with so much more freedom and fluidity because we won't be stuck in this looking over there to compare, but looking over there to appreciate.
That beautifully said. And we are at a time where it's easier to find that. I think that appreciation of your own self has to be first. It's that gratitude,
exactly,
right? That you even woke up today when millions of people did not have that gift, that have that blessing, right? Mm-hmm, and I think we are heading toward, I hope we are heading toward an era of collectivism. We look around to nature as our great teacher. When you think of a colony of bees, or you think of a herd of wildebeest, or you think of the mycelia of mushrooms, you know, the carpet that's under the earth that connects everything, the trees, the largest living organism on the planet is a grove of trees that's all connected underground. It's all one organism, right? I think we can look to nature, which we are not separate from people. We are part of, it's the circle of life.
We are,
there is a circle here and that we are part of, not separate from. We don't have a responsibility to lord over nature. Mm-hmm. Right? Who are we? Nature doesn't need us. We need nature, right? Yeah. This could be a whole other episode. I'm just saying. And maybe it will be. I would love to have a part two with you.
Oh my gosh, I would love that.
I can't believe it's already been an hour.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, yes, it has been.
I know. Time and space disappear on the Lost Traveler podcast. But I do want to ask you, if you, to wrap up, Did you think of a question that you'd like to ask my next co-host intuitively?
I do. My question for your next co-host would be, what are you most excited about in your life right now and why?
Beautiful. Are you going to answer that question?
Oh, I didn't realize I had to. Okay. What am I most excited about and why? I'm excited about the book from the standpoint of the feedback that I've heard from people that have read it. Because it's one of those things where I feel like part of my purpose is to help, to encourage, to be that cheerleader for people in their lives, to say, keep going, you can do it. And so the feedback that I've been receiving from that is that people are feeling helped in the sense of remembering how resilient they truly are, even in reading some of the stories, in feeling encouraged, feeling inspired, feeling like they can keep going when they get hit with those little bumps and, you know, things they have to change and navigate and whatnot. And so I feel like I'm excited about that because the whole reason behind wanting to write it was to help, and it's doing that. And so I think that's what I'm most excited about is just, and because I truly believe again in that ripple effect. So, you know, one person's reading it, it's not just one person that's going to be impacted, because now that they're shifted, they're excited, they're inspired, they're, you know, remembering how resilient they are, they're going to inspire other people from there too.
And they're going to share the book, Never Quit on a Bad Day.
They will. And that saying, to me, it's the saying, right? At the end of the day, that's my goal with it, is that more people know that saying, never quit on a bad day, and that they feel it. Because as we talked about, you know, even in just when we were sharing in terms of anger, grief, like there's days that you want to check out. I'm like that. It's a lot. But if that saying can just keep people to move forward, right? Remember, don't quit on a bad day. It applies to everything in life, goals, grief, excitement, sports, business, all of it. And so
you know what I love, what I love about the title Never Quit on a Bad Day is that the message for me is not never quit, because sometimes we have to quit something to create the space for something better to come
absolutely.
In
absolutely
right. Yep. You go into your garden, you dig a hole, come back in 3 days, it's going to be full of something else. It could be rose petals. It could be water. It could be, you know, dog poo, who knows, but you got to create the space. Right. And sometimes that means, as hard as that is, because we're taught never to quit. The caveat there is never quit on a bad day. Never quit when you're down. Never quit when you're low. Right.
Absolutely.
So you're going to be deficient in the skills that it requires to be resilient and to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right?
Absolutely.
If it's a bad day, let the bad day be the bad day, but don't quit on that day. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Phoebe, I feel like I've made a new friend today. I want to stay in touch. Let's definitely do a part two down the line. And thank you for this hour, this amazing conversation. It's been a real thrill.
Thank you. It has been so just like heartwarming. I'm so grateful for you. And I love that the stuff that we talked about, like I'm leaving this conversation just feeling uplifted. I'm grateful for you. I've learned from you. And I just want to say, keep doing what you're doing, because you are impacting lives all over the world, mine included. And I'm grateful for you, my new friend.
Thank you for that endorsement. I really appreciate it. And I feel the same way about you.
Thank you.
I'll be a cheerleader for you too.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to season 4 of the Lost Traveler podcast with Henry Cameron Allen. Visit me online at henryallen.org. Thank you to my guests, and thank you for tuning in. Let's keep striving for a better world together.